going to wander around today. I might visit you in your seats. Just kidding. Happy Easter. I hope you've been really, really encouraged so far with our worship together. I feel a little pressure. I have no bunny story. Bob said that. I'm like, man, what do I do? And I'm not quick enough to come up with something on the top of my head. So no bunny stories, but this is, in many ways, it's a communion part two. You know, we're continuing in the book of Isaiah, and we're going to look at Isaiah 53. And the title of my lesson today is The Real Beauty of Jesus. You know, as Mike did a tremendous job last week, you know, talking about the comfort that we need to have from God. And sometimes we think that He doesn't listen. Sometimes we think that our problems are so huge, and yet we have a God who holds the nations and the oceans in the palm of His hands. And why do we worry? Why do we fret? And as we go from chapters 40 to 52, what we really begin to see is a God much like a parent who is pleading with His children. He goes back and forth and He says, I love you and I want so much for you. But you say you've paid no attention and your ears are not open and you hear nothing and you do not take it to heart. And then God says, fear not, I have summoned you by name. I know you personally. I'm having a hard time trying to get your names, but God doesn't. And God knows, He doesn't know us just collectively. He knows us personally by name. That's such a cool thought. That Sean personally is known to God. We're not left forgotten by Him. And it's an amazing, amazing thought. And He says, you are precious. You are honored to me. Yet you've not called out to me. You've gone back to your idols. You've burdened me. You've wearied me. And yet I want to call you back. And then He says, you know, listen. Do not be afraid. Return to me. Look, I've told you what would happen. I have what is best for you. I want to comfort you. I have not forgotten you. And then it says, see, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. That means it's a gesture that look, see the blisters, see the pain, see the marks of how much I love you. See my hands. And that's what God says to us. And of course, we celebrate, you know, Easter, and it's the crucifixion and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And in many ways, Jesus says, see my hands. See how much I love you. I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. And so back and forth, he makes references to their redemption, that they have been purchased for salvation. And then as we come to chapter 52 and 53, it is probably one of the most well-known passages in all of the Bible, and certainly a reference to the Messiah coming, Jesus, in the New Testament. And now God really lays His heart on the line. And earlier in chapter 43, He says, since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you, and people in exchange for your life. Now He says, basically to paraphrase, I will give myself for you. I will give myself in exchange for your life. And that really is the message of Isaiah 53. Let's pray together, and then we'll read this together. Father, help us this morning, even for these short few moments, to grasp in some small way the depth of your love, the commitment you have to us. Father, and help it to shape and change our lives. Help us to be different. Help us to be motivated. Help us to change as a result of your love. Father, open our hearts. Open our minds. Open our lives to follow you wholeheartedly. We pray this. We love you. We thank you for Jesus. What an incredible sacrifice. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to Isaiah 52. Start reading in verse 13. See, my servant will act wisely. He'll be raised and lifted up and highly exalted, just as there were many who were appalled at him. His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see. For what they have not heard, they will understand. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he is cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hands. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. And by his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. I mean, who has believed? This is an amazing story. When we go back to 53 verse 1, he's really saying, I mean, do we grasp this? Do we understand this? This is so amazing. Who of us that really, really understands what this is all about? And I wonder, and if we ask ourselves today, do I grasp what Jesus did? Do I grasp the love of God? Yes, it's Easter, and we think about the cross more, and we think about the resurrection, but do we really, really grasp? Have we really been changed as a result of Jesus' death? Who can understand this? You know, in the Old Testament, it talks about the arm of the Lord, you know, referring to strength. And, you know, if I revealed my arm to you, my big guns, you know, it wouldn't be very impressive. Only to Joyce. Now, at the risk of embarrassing him, DJ, can you stand? If he bears his arms, they're a little different. You might say to me, yeah, you know, I can take them. DJ, you might go, maybe not. But with God, certainly not. Amen. When he bears his arm, that means, hey, I mean business. I want you to understand this. I want you to grasp what I'm saying. You know, verse 2, it goes on and it says, he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. You know, how do we feel about credentials? How do we feel about appearances? You know, we live North America, and I put Canada in there because we're all the same. We're all the same. We are so caught up in how we think of ourselves. You know, the cosmetic and plastic surgery industry is billions billions of dollars. The diet and exercise industry is billions of dollars. This is an old stat, but over $7 billion are spent on cosmetics each year. You know, and here's something that's very, very interesting, because it affects, it's called lookism, a prejudice based on physical appearance and attractiveness. But this is in the workplace. One study found that employers believe that good looks contribute to the success of their companies. One analysis found that workers below average looks tended to earn 9% less money than those workers who were above average in appearance, and that those who were above average in appearance tended to make 5% more money than those who were average looking. I don't know where I fell in that whole thing, but you know, I worked in the pharmaceutical industry, and many of the reps in that industry, they're good looking. Again, I was lucky. I don't know how I got in. They must have had a period of time where they said, we'll lower the bar here. But we, you know, it is reflective. You know, I think there's two times that we begin to exercise. You know, we at the beginning of the year, we go on, you know, we say, I'm going to make a resolution. And you know what I notice is probably about now people begin to get back into working out and dieting. Why? The beach. My youngest son, it was funny, because I've been trying to get him to exercise, and he started, and he's like, so we're asking why. He's like, Dad, the beach. You know, but I think if we're honest with ourselves, there's more beach mentality in us than we think. We do care about what we look like. You know, and Jesus had no beauty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance. And I even wonder, and I think of us even as churches and individuals, do we try somehow, some way to make Jesus more attractive? Do we try to make him a little more palatable? Do we try to show all of the positive things about him and, you know, brush by perhaps the negative things that he calls us to do? Oh, maybe we can fill our churches with more people if we make it more beautiful, if we make Jesus more attractive. But there is nothing in Jesus. To be honest, Jesus would sit amongst us and we wouldn't know who he was. And again, I wonder if we try with all the bells and whistles and we want, even in ourselves sometimes, we want plastic surgery emotionally and spiritually from Jesus. We want some cosmetics to just kind of brush up our flaws, and we don't really need Jesus. We need parts. We need components of him to help kind of polish us off and make us more presentable. And we can come to church and we can be dressed up and we can look good, but what's really going on inside? Plastic surgeries, nip, tuck. We cut off a few things here and there, and then we want to look good. And we want to present ourselves to our brothers and sisters, again, that we really are better than we are. Jesus is not concerned with the appearances. He's not concerned with the flash. He's not concerned with the how we appear. He's more concerned with what is going on inside. You know, again, if Jesus were here, it says that Jesus was a tender shoot. You know, a tender shoot is a suckling that comes off the tree. And really, to them, it was something bad. If you have a fruit tree, you don't want a suckling plant. It takes all of the energy. So you cut it off so that your fruit tree can be more fruitful. Jesus was that. He was cut off. from the Jewish people. He came from parched ground. There was nothing in Jesus that made anyone just even notice who he was. I mean, think of the plan of God. He was the prince. He's the king. He's the Messiah. He was born in Bethlehem. He was born unnoticed to all of the world. He came at a parched ground. When he appears to Nathanael, Nathanael goes, "What? Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" That's the background of Jesus. Nothing impressive. Nothing special. Nothing that we would do. And I've said it before. I mean, if I were God, somehow, some way, I want the world to see it. I'm sending my son. This is obvious. I want you to get it. I want you to see him. So what do we got to do? Let's flash the billboards. Let's do whatever it takes. Let's send out messages. Let's do everything. And yet I see that's not the plan of God. It's so simple. That's why he says earlier, who has believed our message? Have we got it? Have we understood it? And so we want all the flash, but I mean, God wants our hearts. Nothing special. Again, I love the story. He was despised and rejected by man. And I want to talk for a few minutes even about the fact that he was familiar with our suffering. The first point of this was ordinary appearance. Nothing special about Jesus. You know, he walked amongst the crowds. I love reading the Gospels. It's just as Jesus walked amongst the people. I mean, he was familiar with sorrow. He walked through and he saw people's pain. He went through the pain himself, as we'll read later. But he put himself in contact with the destitute, the hurting, the painful people. He was familiar with sorrow. He actually touched the leper. His heart went out to people when their son died or their best friend died. He was moved with emotion. And yet he was normal. And I want us to understand the humanity of Jesus. You know, when he appears at his baptism, he walks through the crowd like everyone else was coming to John the Baptist. There was no parade. There was nothing. He literally walks. And it wasn't until John the Baptist says, you know, "Behold, the Lamb of God," that anyone even heard anything and knew. So he was so normal and average, he walked just right in the crowd. Again, nothing in his appearance that people would go, "Wow, the Son of God is coming." And I want us to understand this. It's such a simple plan. God wants us to understand this. And we need to understand the humanity. I need to understand with more conviction and more depth the humanity of Jesus. Because when I get in touch with that, man, I fall in love with him more. I understand his love for me more because I see he was just like me. And I know what you're thinking because I think the same way. Jesus was not just like me. Well, either the scriptures are true or they're not. When it says that he was human in every way just as like we are, it does it not mean that? But I don't believe it. I don't really believe it. Somehow in my mind, I think that Jesus was just putting on a good front, pretending really to be human. That he was really faking it. He really is. He's the poster child of DC and Marvel comics. He's the superhero. He trades in his robe for a big cape. But that's not what the scriptures say. He was human. He felt the pain. And we need to get in touch with that. We need to understand that. Because it helps me come to grips with my humanity and realize that I have sources. I have the same sources to change. I have the ways to be different. Again, Hebrews 2, verse 14. He too shared in their humanity and was made like his brothers in every way. Do I believe this? Do I believe in Hebrews chapter 4 that he can sympathize with my weaknesses because he was tempted in every way just as I am or we are, yet is without sin? So as it goes on, it's we despised and esteemed him not. You know, the word esteemed is an accounting term. It's to assess the value of something. And again, do we value, do we esteem Jesus? Do we esteem the value of his humanity? Of his plan? Of who he is? Do we allow it to change us? The humanity of Jesus to me is incredibly, incredibly profound. And it should have a profound impact on my life. This plan of God was ordinary. There was nothing real special about it. And that's what makes it extraordinary. That's what makes it amazing. That's what makes what he did extraordinary. So the first point was ordinary man. Second point is extraordinary love. In verses 4 to 6, it talks about he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. You know, it means to bear. It means to lift off that person and place it on another or on himself. You know, as we go through life, we begin to sin and we accumulate sin. In my little backpack. You know, and initially we can walk around with this and feel okay. And we may even think to ourselves, you know, my sin is not really that bad. But we begin to compare ourselves to other people and oh, you know, my burden's pretty light. So it gets heavier and heavier. And then someday we find ourselves with this and a ball and chain. Exactly, this is our sin over time, and it burdens us. I can't even lift this. I'm glad it has wheels. But you know what it means? Jesus takes this and he carries it himself. When we become Christians, he takes what I cannot even carry and he puts it on himself. That's what it means to bear. And how different it is. You know, we sang the song, I'm so happy, so very happy now that I've laid my burdens down. There's a reason why we need to be happy. Because if this is what you're carrying around, it ain't fun. You'll be grunting through life. Jesus doesn't want that. Jesus wants our burdens. He wants to take our burdens. He wants to carry our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. I appreciate what Bob said in his communion. Because I think I don't fully understand the whole idea of the amount of blood that was spilled and sprinkled and splattered in the Old Testament. I don't understand the impact even of the cross and how much blood was spilled with Jesus. And if we look back in chapter 52, It says in verse 14, just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness, so he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand. You know, earlier in verse 13, it says, my servant will act wisely. What this means is that he will know what to do in any given situation. What that tells me is that the plan of God was not happenstance. Is that Jesus and God knew exactly what they were doing when they did what they did. That's why it amazes me so much. Sometimes we get persecuted for our faith and it comes on us. But Jesus, he surrendered himself. He was the one who initiated the fact that I will take all of this pain, all of this suffering. I will take the cleansing. You know, to be beaten beyond recognition. When it says appalled, it means that you are shocked. You are horrified. It literally means that you are startled. Again, we got to grasp kind of the depth, even what God really means in these passages. Oh, you know, he's appalled, okay. But no, I mean, you're shocked. And to startle literally means to jump up. You're so taken back by what happened. This is the language that God is sharing here. And I asked myself, even as Bob said, do I fully grasp and am I amazed at what God did, what Jesus did for me? And the amount of blood in the Old Testament, I mean, when blood was sprinkled over everything, I mean, it had to be gory. It had to be graphic. It just had to. And so the crucifixion, the death of Jesus, is graphic. And again, the word sprinkled means startled. I mean, it makes you jump up. You're actually, the amount of blood used, it startles us. And that's what the cross should do. It should startle me and go, wow. Wow. I can't believe that. And then obviously it should bring about change. It should bring about some, I mean, how can you think about that and then walk and leave? And that's a challenge for us today. How can we even for these few moments understand what God did and not allow that to change us? God forbid. Our reaction to Jesus, his beating. He was beaten beyond recognition. And again, in the original language, it really means, is he human? When he was unrecognizable. Is he human? That's unbelievable to me. I mean, we'd be horrified if we saw someone out on the street getting beaten and pummeled but to the point of being almost unrecognizable. But that is the language that God wants us to see. That's what Jesus went through. And so we become, as it says, dumbfounded. We put our hands over our mouth when we think of the cross. And we think of the fact that it was this that did it. This is why Jesus went through what he did. It needs to horrify us. It needs to convict us. We're going to watch a video, and it is from the Passion. And I know some people are uncomfortable with that. If you're uncomfortable, you can close your eyes. But it's along with the song, Worthy is the Lamb. And if you just listen, that's fine. But also as I'm sharing, the movie, the Passion, does give some sense of the brutality of what Jesus went through. The graphicness of the pain and the torture that he went through for us. Let's watch this.